the minister and the DG. Honorable Masipaku, I know we sent us late. So those are the apologies that we have. DG actually has appointed Honorable Mike, has appointed DG Mania, who could not be here again. He has yet to attend the minutes. I feel DG Ramasod is the one that will represent acting DG. Honorable members, you are welcome to the meeting. This is a continuation of the deliberation of the proper amendment bill by the committee. We had received presentation from the legal team, which will require us, in terms of the NA Rule 249, to go back to the NA, to request the permission to go to look into the other provisions of the Act, of the Principal Act, because the proposed bill, as was discussed in the last meeting, did not accommodate those provisions that we're dealing with, which is Section 7 and Section 8, and now Section 4. So we are distributing the letter which will go to the NA to request that the NA, in terms of the rules of Parliament, to allow us to look into those provisions, because they were not covered by the principal, by the proposed amendment bill. So that's the first issue that we have to deal with. So we've circulated that letter, and let me start by apologizing on behalf of Albertina. I'm told she has not put the meeting on the, what is that? Yeah. So because we have received the application response very late. I need to try, say it's not our day. We have to request from the house chair. So the response came very late. We had to put the in this meeting in that system of theirs. So our apologies. So but you are receiving this letter now, honorable members. But I know that the documents you've received them yesterday, which was the day before this meeting, for you to look into that. So can we deliberate on the matter before we go into deliberation on the actual issues of the bill?
Yeah, thank you, sir. Good morning, Kay. This is a general question. Looking at the process where we are now and with this additional requirement, how would you, in terms of beating the deadline of the 12th of July?
The issue is, our staff must do a thorough work. We cannot submit a bill that is in question to the National Assembly, saying there is a constitutional judgment. So the department would have to go back to them and say, request that extension again. So the issue is about us. We cannot there's the unfinished product to NA because of the judgment. Honorable Say?
We will do it, because I think that was one of my concerns with the department from the beginning. I got the impression that it's a rush thing just to get the Constitutional Court issue off the hands. We even had the discussion when we started with the purpose of the bill. And I knew we were going to run into trouble, and I was concerned about this, because we will have to say that we need to change it. It's a 1935 old chair. We can't just change one wording for another one and think we're going to be fine. So I think we need to go back to the NA and say that we will have to make some certain changes to this bill. Otherwise, we can just as well leave it and say, you know, we just change one word for the other word and leave it as is.
Okay. Agree. Thank you very much. We'll submit the request to the NA, which we would probably present to the NA next week. But again, we thought we should not wait for the... We should continue with the deliberation of the case as we can do it. We are not going to give our legal team to present. The state law advice. You're welcome, Naman.
Yes. Thank you, Jay. Sorry, I was busy organizing it on my laptop, forgetting that I must connect to your screen today. I'm not sure if I should start in the meantime while they're busy fixing the screens.
Okay. This document I will look at, can you just flash it?
Jay, you should be looking at the one that looks like the bowl. It's a small thing, yes, the one that Mrs. Stein has got in her hand. That one is. Okay. Thanks, Jay. I'll proceed. Good morning, members. Good morning, ma'am. I think let me first try to explain what we did. We discussed on Tuesday all the comments that were made mostly by the stakeholders, and we incorporated that by way of comments into a document that looks like the bill, so that members could see how the amendments would be if they were incorporated in the bill. So what we are doing today is to now incorporate the proposals made by the committee members on Tuesday while we were going clause by clause through this bill. So I've gone with the same process to make a comment next to the insertion, just to make it clear why the insertion is there. And I would also ask for the assistance of the parliamentary legal advisors in instances where it's a section that they might insert it and that we have agreed upon also. Okay. I don't know if it's really necessary to go through the bill in those matters where we've not made comments. I don't know if you would you prefer us to go through that, John?
Can we go through them all? Because there's certain issues that I wanted in there that's not in here, so otherwise I'm going to miss it again.
Okay. Jesu, ma'am, could I just ask Ms. Stein if... So does it mean that we have to go through the old comments as well? Would you prefer that rather? The Tuesday comments?
Okay.
Well, Chair, without pushing aside the proposal, as said, but think we have also to be conscious of each and every sitting getting new things. Now we are doing what we are trying to avoid, because at the end of the day now, we shall have to deal with the whole thing that we have passed. I think if we show that whatever we're doing on Tuesday was correct, I think we have got to look to the progress. Otherwise, it's a government time, it's meeting it. We try to avoid that. But I'm saying, let's see how we will go this month. If many things are going to come and they talk on what we are agreeing on Tuesday, I'm going to have a problem. Thank you.
Can I summarize like this, members? Let's allow this state law advisor to present what they have. If members they feel that there are certain things that they need to discuss, we'll bring them. Because it's not about individual members' issue to be in the bill. It's about the collective agreement of the committee to be in the bill. I just wanted to correct that. Yeah. Let's do that.
Okay, thank you, ma'am. So in the long title, those are just insertions of Tuesday, which we've not highlighted again. And then clause 1 would be the repeal of section 2 with no changes. Clause 2 would be the repeal of section 3 with no changes. And then you would notice a new clause 3. Well, actually, it's still the same clause 3, but it was just an extension. We've now inserted some more new sections in there. And those were relating to the appeal procedure. One of the comments from members was that we should put the appeal process rather after the licensing procedure. And there we've inserted sections, let me just see where they start. But in any event, they go up to section 3B. So we started to insert the appeal procedure. After the section 3L that dealt with the validity of a license, so you would notice that the right to appeal, which is now section 3M, starts right below the application procedure for licenses. So that was just basically an incision of what used to be the old proposed section 11B. So we work that into that. So there's no changes really there to the content of that section, merely the location within the bill. And then we still find the designation of National Licensing Officer, which is still 3A, with no changes. 3B, the qualification of the licensing officer, without changes there. 3C, it's not made any changes there. Appointment of experts, that still stays the same. Delegation of powers and functions, those are still the same in section 3E. In section 3F, which deals with the application for licenses, it was proposed that one of the proposals of the SPCA be inserted here. So we didn't insert it because we just wanted to make sure of the wording, and we also wanted the department to be involved in this since we didn't really get confirmation of whether it would be, it would fall within what the intentions were with the section. So hence we just made comments so that we could flag this. I think we also said on Tuesday to just flag this and come back to it. The proposal by the EPCA was to insert as one of the requirements for the license that a description should be provided of where the animal comes from, and then also whether the animal will actually travel from the, obviously from the province or the location where the license was obtained. So that was, I think we should still perhaps discuss this one, but we've just flagged it. Duration of the license, CG, didn't change. And then with regard to the consideration at the granting of applications for licenses in Section 3A, you would notice that we've inserted a proposed subsection 2, which provides that the National Licensing Officer must consider and decide on an application within 45 days of the receipt of the application. So this comment, this proposal was made because of a comment that there was a feeling that you had to bring the time frames for the finalization of consideration of these applications into the Act in order to provide a time frame that is specific. Then with regard to the hearing of applications, there's nothing that changed there. That's Section 3I. The issuing of licenses, so Section 3J. I think you would remember there that the within 20 days, there was a proposal that the within 20 days be changed perhaps to a fewer amount of days, and the proposal being submitted here was that the National Licensing Office must, within 7 days after making a decision, inform the applicant in writing of the granting, refusal, or amendment of a license, and notify the applicant of the date, time, and place, or collection of such license. I think the theme here was that 20 days was perhaps too long, and the department agreed that a shorter period would be in order. Then, with regard to Section CK, suspensions, withdrawal, or amendment of licenses, you will see there that we just inserted subsection 3, which says if a license is received, an applicant must cease the training, exhibitions, or use of animals for safeguarding. That was just in line with a proposal that should the license have expired, that we didn't want the previous license holder to necessarily continue to exhibit and train these animals whilst not being in possession of the license. So that was the proposed insertion of subsection 3. Then with regard to the validity of the license, nothing changed there. That was section 3L. And now you will see from section 3M, these sections are dealing with the right to appeal. So as far as I know, nothing with regard to the contents of those were changed. It was just a proposal of shifting that section to close to the licensing procedure. And then with regard to the placement of the word dog or dogs throughout the Act, there were some consequential amendments that had to be done which didn't necessarily reflect in the previous bill that we presented on Tuesday. So we tried to incorporate it into this one so that we can see how it will look. And one of these sections is Section 4 of the Principal Act. So in order to change any reference within context, within the correct context, from dog to animal, we had to then amend Section 4, which deals with the right of entry. So these are mere consequential amendments. You would see there are quite a lot of references to dogs that we had to remove, and those were in all three of the paragraphs of Section 4. It required us to really go through the Act to see if we are removing it within the correct context, because we actually were looking at removing the word dog only when it related to the use for safeguarding, not in other context. So there is been in Section 4, A, B, and C that we have to remove dogs and replace it with animals. Then in the next amendment, this is one of the newer amendments that we proposed on Tuesday, which is now Clause 5, which deals with the amendment of Section 7, the regulation section that provides authorization to minister to make regulations on certain issues within the Act. And there you would note a few more omissions are the ones in bold brackets. We had to omit certificate because obviously the certificate still related to Section 2 and 3 that we are repealing in this bill. So as a consequential amendment, certificate also had to be omitted. And obviously any reference to renewals of licenses, which is found there in paragraph A. So you see certificate almost appears in all of the paragraphs of Section 7, and then also as a still the penalties that we amended previously and that we have presented to the committee on Tuesday. So there's nothing new otherwise. And then Clause 6 is the amendment of Section 8, which is also a new amendment that is not in the bill as introduced, but there's nothing that changed since our presentation on Tuesday in relation to that section. Clause 7, that is the definition section, Section 11 of the Act, which we had to make a change to some of the definitions after Tuesday's meeting. And one of these proposals that we incorporated into this document is the insertion of the amendment of the definition of animal scientist, which you will see there in clause 7b. And this was in line with the content advisor's proposal that we perhaps limit the natural scientist to being a professional natural scientist instead of just saying natural scientist, because the Natural Scientific Professions Act provides three categories of natural scientists. So there you will still see we refer to professional or certified. Actually, we need to just clarify that with the department, because the thing is that it should not be professional, which is the highest qualification of natural scientist in accordance with the Natural Scientific Professions Act. But we just thought that we would point that out of the committee. And once again, you would see there in our inserted paragraph C, the deletion of the definition of certificate. That's also merely sequential or consequential, because obviously certificates don't apply anymore should this bill then become an act. And otherwise, there were no amendments really to the definitions. Yes, of course, the accidental paragraph F, which deals with the useful safeguarding, where we've also just replaced a dog with an animal, which would make it clear then that if we are talking about use of safeguarding, useful safeguarding, we are referring to the useful safeguarding of an animal, as we've now defined it in accordance with the new definition. And then there's also just a general amendment, which you'd find in our new clause 8. It deals with certain expressions within the act. This is just a drafting technique that we use, because the word dog featured almost every day in the act, and there was no easy way to really otherwise replace the definition or the use of the word dog throughout the act. So this was just a necessary clause then to change all those references to animals. And if I can then ask Desiree perhaps to just speak around transitional provisions, if you could, this is one of the provisions that I've specifically inserted into this bill, because I thought that Desiree would explain it to us first. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, State Law Advisor. Our legal team.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Board Members. I have looked at the repealing provisions. In other words, what this Act does, it nullifies or repeals Section 2 and 3. Now, in terms of Section 2 and 3, those were the sections that dealt with the certificates and the licenses that was issued by the legislature. I'm going to be dealing with a document. It's got the heading clause 5, but it is also on the screen. And I had to look at this because I became concerned what is going to happen once this act comes into operation. What's going to happen to the licenses which is already there and to the certificates? Because if you just repeal a section, you would, what happens means that the authorization in terms of which person got that license, that person has now fallen away, and was that person's license is of no force and effect. Unless when you repeal it, you have conditional arrangements, in other words, some sort of saving of the validity of some of the sections. So what I then did, I looked at it, and I must say I haven't consulted with the department. They must still give their views on this. But I've looked at it, and I specifically focused my transitional arrangements to the certificates and licenses. And if we recall the constitutional court case, the court was not happy about the fact that the certificate and the license was issued by the magistrate. So now in my transitional arrangement, I also catered for anything done by a magistrate beforehand would now be deemed to have been done by the national licensing officer. I had to look at that because I couldn't just say that it is still in terms of the repeal section, where the court specifically wasn't happy about that. So which is why I have included a clause to a deeming clause to say that that license would have been issued by the national licensing officer. So how I've drafted it, if I could just read to the members, if the members can maybe just focus on the one which I have printed, because there was two small errors on the one I sent you on there. But it reads now, and it's going to come just before the short title of this act. It's going to be certainty. So it reads now, 11B, a license issued in terms of the repeal section 2 of this act and a certificate in terms of repeal section 3 of this act is deemed to have been issued in terms of section 3J of this act and remain valid until the license or certificate expires or is suspended, withdrawn, or amended by the National Licensing Officer. Number 2, anything done or decisions taken in terms of the repeal section 2 and 3 of this Act is deemed to have been done or taken by the National Licensing Officer. Any application for a license or certificate made before the commencement of the Performing Animals Amendment Act, which is the bill we are dealing with now, must be produced by the National Licensing Officer in accordance with the criteria in the repeal section 2 and 3. I just want to explain that, section. There may be applications which is currently pending. Now, what's going to happen to those applications? It's not going to be fair for people to reapply and start fresh. So my proposal is that those applications now be processed by the National Licensing Officer once this act comes into operation. But people don't have to, and they have to comply with the requirements that was in place when they applied. Because it's going to be unfair to automatically now change it whilst application is already in and they're just basically waiting maybe on investigation before the decision is made. So which is, that's the reason why I drafted closely like that. Any investigation conducted or criminal proceedings pending before the court, before the commencement of the Performing Animals Amendment Act of 2015 must be proceeded with and finalized as if Section 2 and 3 of this Act has not been repealed. So in other words, if you were guilty of an offense or they were investigating in terms of anything that you've done under Section 2 and 3, then that investigation is continued, not automatically fall away because this is the new section that deals with it. If you violated the law by then, the investigation must continue. It's just now, because the court didn't express concern about the requirements for getting a license or and also the court was only concerned about the separation of power and giving that power to the magistrate, which is the reason I thought there will be no harm in still using what the requirements were or still using Section 2 and 3 of the Act to complete the investigation. Thank you, G.
Thank you very much. We are now going to open it for discussion. We'll start focusing on the those paragraphs that have been highlighted. Any comment on page 1 of the bill? Page 2. Honorable State?
Chairperson, it's something that I just said on Tuesday, but I don't think it's really, I made myself clear, but now that we have this the letter to the National Assembly, it makes sense to me, because the reason why we are looking at certain other amending certain other provisions of this Act, also to ensure that we stop looking at the animal welfare side of it. I know that we are not dealing with it, and we're not going to open it up wider, and I'm not trying to do that. I asked the LA if we can't include a purpose of the Act, because we had the long title. But if you include the purpose in the way that we're now making amendments in any case to this bill, to ensure the welfare of animals is respected and protected in the exhibition and training of performing animals and the use of animals for safeguarding and to introduce a licensing system that offers protection for the welfare of animals and to provide for the sanction of non-compliance. Because I think we are starting to deal with animal welfare in this bill. We're not just dealing with the licensing. If we did just deal with the licensing, it wouldn't have been necessary for us to change other provisions of this thing. We could have just said the licensing is now done by the State Department. I think we are starting to look at it, Chairperson, with putting these other provisions in here.
I thought we would agree as a committee to say the issue of welfare to need a dialogue, because immediately to put that clause, those attribution might not happen because you're leaving this animal welfare, because you have to deal with the interpretation, what you mean in the bill, so that those people who are going to perform or they are going to use those animals to perform, they must then know what is expected of them, or what are other things that cannot be done in those training and other things. So I thought we'll give department, as we have agreed with them, they must start the process. Within 6 months, they must come back and give us the what is the framework, the baseline in terms of the welfare, because as you said, Honorable Sultan, how do you decide that this animal now is stressed? How do you know? Those things need to be defined and give it a context. But of course, it must be done by experts. I would not know. If I go to a zoo, I just want to see them performing until I get the doctor and go home and sleep without having that understanding of whether they get caressed, they can push hard as they train and all those things. So, we should not open this bill again for the court before it starts to open, because we'll be touching something that all of us will know that the bill is outdated, and we've agreed as we deal with that, but we are complying. And we have given ourselves time for it, that the department should bring in 6 months the dialogue that they actually engaged with communities and will push them through for them to bring the welfare bill, the animal welfare bill to Parliament, so that we are able to deal with the entirety of welfare of animals. Because it's very difficult to speak for something that is not cannot speak for themselves. I can say I don't want this thing, but animal can't say those things. So and it might be somebody's ritual to use a particular animal to perform certain cultural activity, and you cannot say that person is abusing abusing that animal. So, we have to open that dialogue, and there is a consensus within the society before even you want to legislate. Honorable Filtana and Honorable Ramukwa.
Thank you, sir.
My take on what my colleague has suggested here is that we're dealing with this bill in the context in which it was brought to us, but trying to make sure that these animals' welfare is taken into account wherever and whenever they are. That's not the main focus of the bill. And I think with all the debates that have taken place, discussions that have taken place here, I think we're pretty much covered. I want to agree with you, Chair, that dealing with the welfare of the animals is an exclusive matter that would need focused attention. But I think we're pretty much covered in terms of making sure that they will be taken good care of. Thank you, Chair.
No, thank you, Chair. Also, I must actually I think the main thing that we have achieved today is around the agreement on the extension. I think that's very important for us to agree on that one. And then I think that's very well for us now, because it's unanimous. But I think all what you have said, we, in all our meetings, actually highlighted, and then I don't think we can repeat it and repeat it, because we also reached consensus on how we are going to progress in the next phase. And I think we are agreeing now that we are actually dealing with the question of compliance. I think the legal teams were struggling and grappling with issues of fitting the correct perspective around the compliance issue, which, of course, today I think it looks quite well to say this is what will be acceptable to the people who actually have sent the bill to us. So for any other further discussions on the other matters, I think we also have agreed. So with the presentation now, because Tuesday we actually also agreed that this must be inserted. This is what is coming to us. We have said, go and do this, go and see how do you fit this as well. And I don't think there's anyone from us who is now saying, you have not done what you have instructed you to do on Tuesday. So I'm just saying we simply agreeing upon the compliance matter that has been in place in front of us. Thank you.
Chairperson, I'm really not trying to be difficult on this. I'm also trying to understand. What is the purpose then of having to apply for a license? If the purpose is not so that the protection of animals, if you don't want to use the word welfare, then it's looked after, then why don't you just tell the people to go and buy a license at Checkers or ShopRite or Pick Up Buy or wherever they want to? Why are we then struggling with the licensing issue? If the purpose is not to also start looking at ensuring that the animals are being looked after. So we're dealing with something that we want to... Why are we getting licenses then? Why don't we just start out, anyone can just perform and anyone can just buy a thing so that, and put it on a register or... I'm not trying to be difficult. I'm saying we are starting to deal with the if we want to say that or not. That is why we have a licensing. Or what is the reason then to have a license? Is it not to look after the welfare or to ensure animals are being cared or looked after? Why do we have a license? I think we need to then take a step back. What is the purpose of having a licensing?
Honourable says, we have the Animal Protection Act, which must be read concurrently with this amendment. And we are saying, the Protection Act, for now we have not actually looked into the Animal Protection Act, whether it does provide the welfare of animal or not, in terms of our own understanding. So that's why we are going to... Protection Act is intended to protect animals by the definition itself. So for now, no one has actually gone and entered the debate in that act whether it needs to be refused in terms of whether it does take a welfare condition of animals as we speak. So we are refilling we're amending the legislation that is dealing with only animals that are performing. So you would have to deal with the Protection Act to define that performance. No. To define the welfare aspect of the bill. What do you mean? For now, no one can stand and say that bill or that act is just a... We just heard from the recently when we have in public hearing that that it's not covered and other things that people are demanding, which are the activists in terms of animals. And our argument has been that you cannot just decide to sit here without engaging people and say, this animal welfare is like this. You have to engage them. That's why we're saying they were agreed as we start this debate that all this legislation, they are outdated because we need to start to look at the welfare part of the animal. So, and for now, there is an act which deals with that. But seated here, no one has ever contested since we started here that doesn't take care of the welfare. We just had it during the, they've opened our eyes, the public to say, by the way, this act that we have, it doesn't comply with the constitution in terms of animal welfare. But the argument that can be, who decides and who determines that? It cannot be somebody because he wants to do business or he wants to become an activist alone and say this is how it should be. It should be the discussion of the society, and we have to agree. And at that time, as we have given department money, they'll have to go through that. So I thought we will not read this bill in isolation. It must be read with the Animal Protection Act of 200 years, 1962, yes, something like that. So, but I think we are agreeing at this portfolio committee that indeed the act is outdated. So we should not actually, because if we put that sentence, the one sentence of welfare, you must go back to that. That's the whole act, Animal Protection Act, not this one that we are amending. Because now we are amending the ones of animal performance, those that are executing and performing or say guarding. We are dealing with those only. So if you have to deal with the welfare, you deal with the animal welfare in totality, including those that I use them as my ritual or cultural, and there must be an engagement and understanding as Africans. So, Honorable Saint, I'm going to stop and say we do not agree on this one. So, but I'm going to give you time to motivate yourself and then go come of course and then we close it.
Thank you, Che. I appreciate that. And I really, that's what we discussed and we agreed in the beginning. I'm just saying, I'm going to read it again and make sure that it reads with what we are doing here. To say the wealth, we are to ensure the welfare of animals is respected and protected in the exhibition and training of performing animals and the use of animals for safeguarding and to introduce a licensing system. So, I'm not talking generally, I'm talking about this, and the reason why I say this is because we are doing it with the sections that we are amending with just getting the licensing. There's nothing more that I can say. I can just say that is in my mind why we give a license. It's to also to look after the animals. We don't just give a license so that we know who has licenses in the country to have performing animals to safeguard it. If we go through the clauses of when you do the licensing, why people must apply, what must be part of the application, it is not just for something, it's also so that the department can ensure that the animals are looked after. So we are doing it in the act, in the bill. It's not that we are not doing it. I raise my question.
Well, no, you have said it. You have said it, Chair. I think we are all clear, and I'm happy that it is what we have agreed upon on Tuesday. And I think Honourable Stein now understands why we are engaged in this particular exercise now. But it doesn't close you out. And I'm happy that it now becomes clear that we are heading in a direction where we get into it. And you've got it, Chair.
that?
I think we're agreeing. We're passing page 2. Page 3, there is nothing.
There has never been an amendment here, Honorable State. So why say no?
See, I guess indicated some of the things that I mentioned on Tuesday was not indicated here, so, but I'm not even saying.
Page 4. Agree, Honorable State.
Chairperson, it's on this page that the issues I raised.
Page 4.
Yeah. The one is
highlighted. 3U or 3F?
3F.
Okay.
3F, if we go down to that highlighted section that commented on the FDA section. I have asked for the description of where the animal comes from and whether the animal will travel, and there's a few other things that I added. But the section in the SPCA that's not in here, that says the age of the animal, it was in the SPCA's presentation on page 4 of their presentation, where they have inserted G, H, and I. The age of the animal that the applicant intends to exhibit a train for exhibition, the use of safeguarding, the methods of training the animal or animal intended to be used for exhibition, training of exhibition and use of safeguarding, and the equipment measured and methods used for control restraints. So those were the ones I am just giving it so that you know exactly. And the ones that I wanted in there was description of where the animal comes from and how it came to be in the position of the applicant for training, performing, exhibition, or safeguarding, or the next one, whether the animal will be required to travel regularly or conditionally and the conditions of such, or continuously and the conditions of such travel. So those were the specific sections. I don't think they heard the correct wording the other day and the section specifically.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, I think at the station you work on the proposals again, well, I didn't have access to the SPCA's proposal, so I just put it in a comment in any event so that we can just come back to it to get the correct word in any event, because you will see that it does contain some of what Ms. Stein said, but obviously not all of it, so it is still possible to insert it if the comment wishes it to be there.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members. We've actually looked at the input from the NSPCA and including these comments that have been made by the Honorable Sain. We often view that the issues that deal with the description of the ages and where the premises and so on, if we're just looking at 3F2, that clause number 2, it begins to list all the descriptions that we want. So if it's the age of the animal, it will be there. If it's the issues pertaining to the living quarters and the cages and so on, they are covered in D. And if it's where the animal comes from, it's covered in A in our view. And if the animal will travel to where, it is covered in the description of the general nature of performances. And also the general nature of safeguarding that will be required, information in BNC. So we were of the view that all those matters, as a matter of principle, they are, and I think the advocate for us has indicated that they are all included, but not in the same wording as it has been proposed by the NSPCA. But our view is that all those, they get really covered. Thank you, Honourable Chair.
I've been happy with that, as long as the person that's going to deal with the licensing can understand it like that, so that it's just not, you know, it's not just one wording things. Can I move on to 3F3?
it's where it says the National Licensing Officer may, with the consent of the applicant, visit. We had a discussion. I'm still not happy. It's not even included in your act. They must. Because, see, if you put in an application, and this is when all these details will become available. If you put in your application, I didn't say the cat is 3 years old, and meantime the cat is 13 years old.
Can we agree that there is no need to say before that one, Honorable State? There is no need to insert those provisions was already catered for, as has been by the doctor. Agree? Okay. So the issue of the may and the must is coming back.
I just want to qualify why I'm saying this. It is exactly for this reason. If you may, I can lie on my application. I can say the cat is 3 years old. In the meantime, the cat is 13 years old. But if you don't inspect or go and see, it can differ from my application because the people know that it's not necessary. On this thing, I also want to say that the department can delegate their functions. That's why we had a long discussion on who it can be delegated to and why and what people delegation. So if someone, the person that issues the license, don't have to do it. They can delegate it to someone and they can go and do it. But I really feel, Chairperson, it's very important that it must be inspected. Can I just say, Chair, on off the point, I see Dr. Morisani there. I spent 2 days with Dr. Morisani and another somewhere else. And I don't know, Chair, if you and this committee is aware that he was made Chairperson of the OIE recently, and I think we need to congratulate him. And he became a grandfather yesterday, so I learned a whole lot. For the first time he became a grandfather, so that's why he brought us some cake today, Chair.
We are going to do it officially, congratulating Dr. Kordisan as the president of the OIE at the House, because it's important for South Africans to know, and indeed you congratulate us. We thought we'll do it at an appropriate time. No problem, Honorable State. Good news cannot wait. Yeah. The three Ramukwasi, Dr. Ramukwasi.
Have we passed on the issues of the may and the must? We have not that. Yeah, no. I think in our debate, in fact, this was seriously deeply engaged. But ultimately, as also from our point of view, we have to understand that when we deal with the law or legislation, we actually have got to sometimes not also make it difficult for us because of some other interest or some other aspect that we are looking on the other side. It should be a balance. We accept it should be a balance matter that will allow both parties to have a space to get to a movie. We can't always come with the understanding of making things tough to understand that sometimes if it is against us, we don't have the way. We are government also. We must live and we deal with other parties. Now, when we deal with always instructions, must, sometimes it will bite on us. So we have to make it a working environment to allow the parties to engage and interact. That is how law works sometimes.
Switch off your mic, okay. Where I am, I agree with all of those things, but I want to get it from the department and our lawyers to guide us. Because the reality is that when you say may, usually it's not been done. We've got that experience. We have exited here. Now we are in 20 years of democracy. We should be dealing with experience that way. In most legislation where we say it may, is not done because there is no instruction sort of. So can we get advice from yourself and the department and the legal team? So where I am, I know that there are a lot of Honorable Matokwane.
No, thank you very much. I wanted to quit. I wanted to quit everything because I came late. And I hope my apology was submitted. But Honorable President is saying conditional. I don't want the condition. Just as they explain or advise, even if there's a mark, I'm checking, it won't lose the consent. Or shall I say, will it lose with the consent if it's a mark?
Thank you, Honorable Person. Our view is that this clause must be still left with the main. The understanding we really have and why we would like to keep it that way, because if you are saying a must, now you mean that before consideration of any license, you have to go there. Now our view was that there could be certain circumstances where you do not need to, as a matter of principle. In other words, where you have already received all the information necessary to process that particular application. Our logistic and practical issue that we were told by the industry specifically relates to the feeding industry, where they move animals from place to place and so on, depending on the operational dynamics and so on. We have learned that even if we may want to see at any particular time of the day where the animal is and so on, we will not be able to do all those. So it actually means that unless you, if we make it compulsory, we mean that it's not possible. But on the other hand, Honorable Members, we have also said that, for example, we have got a provision in 3C1I that allows the National Licensing Officer to seek for any information from anyone that may be assisting the National Licensing Officer in considering any application. So the visiting of the premises, we would want it to be something that is done, but it must not necessarily be done when it is not necessary to do. So if we say must, we are also then implying that they, even if it's not necessary to do, now as a part of the procedure, it must be done, even if there is a adequate information covering that. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
I don't agree. I don't agree that the work of the licensing officer would be to make sure that he gives license with his own and with evidence that will be on his desk or and confirm to visit those premises indeed. Because that's where the issue of welfare was coming in. So if we don't do it a mask, then we are not protecting this animal. Maybe let me give lawyers. I must not pretend to be a lawyer. My lawyers,
can we also refer to our lawyer who's here, just from the department of justice?
You have lost the lawyer. The lawyer is part of this lawyer. No lawyers. They're speaking from the same. Yeah, so when I'm saying lawyer, they know that since Tuesday, they are one team. That they are led by the state law advice. So don't worry. He knows that they are representing him, her, or she's representing them when she speaks. Yes.
Thank you, Chair, Monique, members and colleagues. Essentially, what we also shouldn't lose sight of in Section 3 is the right to privacy. And I haven't looked in detail on the issue, but essentially, for us to enter anyone's premises, we should have reasonable grounds to do so. And my concern is, if we have it as an obligation,
that have to be performed in terms of this act. We should not violate any other laws in entering such premises. So we should be cautious in that respect, and obviously any applicant may say, but I've provided you with copious amount of information, I've fulfilled all the requirements, so what are your grounds for entering my premises? That's the one aspect that I think we should keep in mind. We should also keep in mind all the other prescripts that we've included in the Act to ensure that the application has enough information for us to make to have a desktop study and make a decision based on that information. Thank you, Jack.
Contest. I will listen to contest. Consent or consent. Oh, yeah. That's the response to that. That was because if I apply, I'm inviting people in my premises. So you cannot want to apply and not say I don't want anybody in my premises. So I'm just saying, can we respond to that one so that we can get it there? Can we ask them to, yes.
If I may, when we apply for a car license or any other license regarding our home, it's not a given that we are inviting anybody to inspect our vehicle or to inspect our homes. But like I say, it's something I haven't looked at in detail because this is something that just come up, but yes, naturally we can apply our minds.
Thank you. Thank you, Chief. The question whether it should be may or must, that's a policy decision which is based on the resources and which is based on the issues involved. Here we are looking, when an application is like, one of the issues that we look at is to see whether the information which is given around the welfare and all of that, whether that is in fact true. So that will have, that consideration will have to be taken into account when you want to make it must or may. And the issue that relates to whether the consent, whether consent is all applicable, you can only enter once the person consents. And once the person has consented, then the national licensing officer, then, if it's must enter. I mean, must go and inspect. It doesn't, if we take the consent issue away, then it will be unconstitutional because then you would need a warrant. But as it's written out, it complies with all the requirements of having to go onto a person's premises. The may doesn't relate to the consent because the consent is in any event a requirement. The may relates to, will be important if you look at, is it practical for the national licensing officer to go in every situation? And that is based on the resources that the department has. Whether it's may or must, it doesn't matter. But will be, at the end of the day, it will have an impact on whether they were able to properly execute provisions of the Act.
Yeah, now I can hear you. Honourable Member, that's the issue. Honourable Peter.
Yeah, I will help with the doctor's explanation. But the lawyer's explanation made my blood to boil. And the subsequent one has calmed me down. I'm okay. But I'm going to say, you keep your premises, I will hold my license. Finish and clear. You keep your premises, I'll put my licensing authority.
So the issue of the may, it doesn't and it's upon this committee that you will then do your oversight to make sure that the department does not use the mail not to do their job, because the licensing officer, we have talked about the delegation, actually was given him or her delegation that we can delegate any aspect which can do that on his behalf. So the mail part of it, I concur with it, based on the CTFA, knowing the limited resources that we have in the country. So that one I submit based on that one.
Thank you very much. Can we pass?
Okay, thank you. I actually just wanted to add to what Parliamentary Legal Advisor indicated, and perhaps also to the department, and now I've done the screen again. when it comes to inspections on premises, there's always two types of inspections that we must consider in legislation. The one is the regulatory one, which is similar to this one, and the other one is the one where it relates to offences that you are presuming someone to perhaps if they have drugs on the premises, which is the more serious one. So when we deal with regulatory offences, we usually use the consent bit, because there are certain requirements that a person must comply with in order to get a license. And that is where I want to come in with what the Parliamentary Legal Advisor also said. There, we always build into legislation consent, because the right to privacy is always an issue. And if we make this a must, we would have to specify in the legislation a whole procedure about what the investigator should carry on identification, what type of warrants would have to be issued, when warrants can be issued. There has to be very specific things, and the warrant is also only mostly required in very serious instances where you have a very strong suspicion that something is going wrong on those premises. Something is, you know, it's almost an offence, you could say. So that is part of why we prefer having it in May, to steer away from this right of privacy issue, because it can be challenged in court. And once the consent is given in the way that the department has explained, it also gives the National Licensing Officer that leeway. So where the National Licensing Officer can then make an appointment with the person, the applicant, and then go to the premises to inspect to see if they're really compliant. Obviously, if they don't comply, then the license can be denied. So it is part of a condition, basically, that they are inspecting.
Thank you, Chair. I think what we are now, can we pass? Page 6? Oh, 5, yes. 6. Huh? 5. Okay. 3H? Yes, Honorable Sir.
Okay. Thanks once more. 3H1. The last word there is she is satisfied. Now, there are two ways in which a person can be satisfied. But the information 3H1, the National License Officer may grant an application for any license if he or she is satisfied. All day. Okay. Now, I wish we could qualify the satisfaction that we're referring to there. Because one might say, I'm satisfied that you've given me all the information you've given me.
Can you go through those things there, A and B, before you...
I'm still going to go there.
Okay.
Yeah, that will be a different question. That the premises, okay, we can deal with them simultaneously. That the premises, accommodation, equipment, facilities. Now, if all of that is required, how about the condition of the animals as something that should also satisfy? Because we're dealing here with premises, accommodation, equipment, facilities. I said we'll have the welfare at the back of our minds. But now, here we, because I got to tell that the problem with legislation, the moment you are specific for certain things, you are taken to be automatically exclusive of other sectors. So the moment now the licensing officer raises issues other than this specified here, then the applicant has got every ground to say, you have no authority to look at any other sectors. You are only supposed to concern yourself with this. That's why I said, let's satisfy ourselves. Let's see if we cannot further qualify that we're satisfied. Thank you, sir. That's the one on that one.
Honorable member, you read 3F. It gives you all those things. 3F. And then you go 3H. Your issues are covered. freedom, my honorable teacher, I want you to... Page 4, application for license, 3X. It describes the person who wants to execute what he must have. And then age, it talks about the licensing officer to say how he responds to those things after the cover. Honorable Stay, you've raised your hand. Yes.
Yeah, I'm still on my issue of public participation. and I know we had a longer discussion about it yesterday, but I'm clearly going to try here. We are not going to say must, we're going to say may. So I think, we still need to try and insert here that the National Licensing Officer may grant an application for any license if he or she is satisfied with the information, blah, 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 blah. And after consideration, if any person, gave information, and I'm back at when an applicant applies, that it must be published on the website. And you can put a time frame. It doesn't have to be something that can be open-ended for years. Within 2 weeks after the department published on the website that some person applied for an application or a license, anyone can make an input. And that must be considered with the application. The reason why I really feel that I think it's good if we put it in there, if it goes to appeal, it can drag the process for a long time. But when the department applied their minds for looking at GF and whatever the things is that they must and mustn't do, they can also receive information from the public and deal with it in one time period, because it is so the time period that the National Licensing Officer might consider and decide on applications within 45 days. All of this must happen within that 45 days. It doesn't have to be something that's long and dragged out. I'm just trying to make it easier so that if people are unhappy about something and they are aware of something, that they can bring it in the application phase, and it doesn't have to go to appeal process.
Thank you, sir. This is a special application I want to make to you. Because, of course, we leave 11:25. I just want to, if you would allow me, to raise issues about this proposed new clause. Like, I don't need to have the answers now, but I'll get the responses from the secretary. If you would allow me to.
Give it to my colleague, I know there is only on behalf. But all these people, they've given an apology. And you must know, members, already there are 3 people who want to leave before the end of the meeting and cannot discuss the bill without a quorum. So that's the bottom line. So your issues, we might not even look at them if you leave, because we might adjourn the meeting because we've not had a quorum. So I think those are the things. So let's try to move very fast up so that we can deal with a lot of things. Honorable Stay, you're saying that we should insert something that would give community public to comment on the license. Can we get legal minds and doctor's minds here? Parliament?
Thank you, Chair. The decision whether to put an application on the website before it's been processed. There's nothing wrong in that. If you include then that those people can make submission with the application. It will depend on whether the policy decision. There's nothing legally wrong with it. I know there was a proposal that it might frustrate the process in whether to grant it or not, but as I said again, that's a policy decision that has to be taken. Whether to include it or not doesn't make a difference legally. Thanks.
And it's the responsibility, the implementers are regulated. If we put it in legislation, if our legislation also might not work, I'm not sure. But I thought maybe members will remind me that we said that it will better fit in the regulation than here in the legislation. If you remember, Honorable Stein and Honorable Ramos,
we did discuss it, but we also said that then we must have a say in the regulations, because if we leave it there, it's up to the minister or the department to decide what's in the regulations, and then it's out of our hands.
Honorable Chair,
that is how we actually have agreed, after we engaged it, and we finally agreed that it can't be everything in the legislation, because regulations are exactly allowed or made to address operational things. It's an operational matter. It's an operational matter. It depends on us. Now, we decide to give it to regulations, and I think people are worried about the executive implementation, but to me, it was how I was going to agree.
Yes, our team.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just to bring about two elements that maybe should be considered for this issue. First of all, publication in the website, there is a question as to who or is everyone, every citizen able to access the website. The second point is also that making an enabling provision with regards to the executive doing any publications. In terms of the Prescription Act, such publications, in order to have the official status, they must be through the Government Gazette. So there is that issue that if we put it there, then the issue of putting it in the website for purposes that it must achieve, there's also then that question, then websites and the Government Gazette and what is official in terms of our principles. That is an issue for consideration as well.
Honorable members, I think when we deliberated on this matter before, we have first and foremost indicated that we wish to, just as a principle, to ensure that in this bill there is no room at all to formally compel other people other than the executive to participate in the issuing of the license, first of all. So it is great that a consideration could be made to publish in order to allow any input in between and so on. But we are operationally concerned that if that is said, then it compels that kind of participation. Therefore, we have managed to settle and at least gain in peace with the provisions that are provided for by the section C1I, first and foremost, because it allows now me to approach any person and get any information. Secondly, we then have the provisions that are provided for in 3I. If you read all 3I, 1, 2, 3, and 4, it actually allows for further considerations of any of these concerns that may be necessary that the Honorable Stein is worried about. And then based on that, we are of the view that in addition now there are all chapters on appeal if anyone is of the view that we didn't apply our mind properly. If we make this publication and the noticing of people and so on compulsory, one, we have already alluded to the fact that if we put it in the bill, it will create an additional administrative and cost implication, because then it means that we have to put in all the platforms where people can access websites, the newspapers, the gazettes, and so on, and given the operational dynamic, that may also be practically and logically impossible. So for us, all the concerns that have been raised by the Honorable Stein, we believe that we will be able to manage them just with the 3C1I as well as the 3I, all of it in case. But then in case somebody is concerned that still within those provisions, we still haven't applied our mind and so on, we are of the view that once we deal from 3M onwards,
it actually gives them that room to deal with all those matters. If you are of the view that at some stage we have failed to consider the input, we have failed to consider giving an opportunity for someone to give and so on, we want to submit that on our picture.
We heard you. I'm ready with the explanation. I'm not sure I'm not going to ask members. Fine. Yes. Seven? Yes. There was something included here in about the 7 days, and then under 3J, are we happy with the 7 days? Because I don't want, it was 3-1 in the original one, and so after all the applications and whatever, I want to know if the department can do it in 7 days, or they need to have a 3-1 day thing.
Yeah, they can do it. No,
that's why
I didn't ask it.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Three. It was something that I asked for, and I'll be happy if we leave it in there if the license is refused, but I said refused, suspended, cancelled, or withdrawn, because it's not only refused. It's refused, suspended, cancelled, or withdrawn. So we specifically say that people must stop. They can't just continue and say, oh, they didn't know that. So I'm happy if we have it in there.
They agree, so he said those.
Thank you, Chief.
Okay. Six. Oh, we're done. Oh. Another thing?
I'm back there on last night on 3-0. And I know that we discussed it, but I again want to hear what is the reason why the minister may refer it to the appeal board, if there's an appeal board. Why must the minister not refer it? And then just on a time frame. So if someone has an appeal, I don't see a time frame anywhere. So this thing can drag up to 2 to 3 years or 4 years or 5 years, or are we dealing with that in month and May, and then just a time frame on the section?
Yeah, my understanding, honourable chair, when we deal with the matter, we said that this is an executive function, which the as legislation we give the mandate to the minister. Because the only person that interacts with us, is the chief implementer, if I may put it like that, is the minister. So if the minister receives an appeal, because he would have delegated the responsibility to the licensing officer, then the minister would then, if he feels that on his own or on her own cannot deal with the matter, can then establish an appeal board to deal with that matter. It may refer to if the issues raised are more complicated, they need legal minds or they need animal doctor's mind. So we'll then have to establish that smaller body to advise him to do that. Agreed? Honorable Singh?
Okay, it's just back to where we discussed who is the people that can be the licensing officer and dealing with that. The minister is not an expert or any... or doesn't it count here? If you have to get things done by some kind of expert, where we had lots of discussions on definitions of experts and who it may be, and it now has to appeal, can it just be the minister? It doesn't have to be any kind of expert. I'm just asking questions as it come up, so the minister can just appeal a licensing that was done by experts. It doesn't work like that normally. I'm not saying the minister is not an expert. I'm just asking questions for us so that we don't come back later and say there's something in this act that we overlooked.
Yes, the only thing is we can say the minister is given mandate by the Public Service Act to become an executing authority of the department. And the legislation does not say for you to be a minister, you should have the technical skills in the field that you'll be deployed. It's the prerogative of the president. It's fortunate where you get this. A person appointed in that particular space that he has expertise and is more
more, can deal with political and technical matters. But in an area where you have a person appointed, is not the technical, doesn't fit within the profession, would have actually used the administrative wing that the law allow that person to appoint to assist him or her to deal with those issues. So,
and they want
the time. That's why it says the minister may. If it is something that the minister can deal with, without actually establishing those technical teams. If the issue that the minister needs technical mind and legal mind, or any other specialties, the minister would have to appoint those things. And in terms of the time, legal team, Ms. Ngema?
The chairperson, in terms of the time, this is an administrative function, and since there is no provision in this act that excludes the application of PAJA, the General Administration Act, so whatever the provisions provide there which do set the time frame, that would be applicable in this regard.
I'm trying to be done, put guidelines in there, regulated somewhere else, and take 5 years.
Honorable Swart?
Thank you,
Thank you,
G. The act which my colleagues refer is the Motion of Administrative Justice Act. Now, what this basically, it's an overarching act, and what it basically says is it's minimum time frames which is set in there. And if you have legislation, you cannot go beyond, you cannot give less time than what is indicated in the Promotion of Administrative Justice Act. It can only be more generous. And if legislation doesn't make any reference to time frames, then automatically the provisions which is included in that act is applicable to the administrative process which is followed by the department. So whether to include time frames, it's not a real necessity because there is legislation that deals with it.
So, Chair, if the legal mind can tell me, what does that act say? What is the time frame to deal with something?
2 years, 3 years, 4 years? If we don't know, it's going to be difficult. State law advisor.
Sorry, ma'am, I was just checking if I have it on my computer, but it will involve me going to several other files which may confuse the members if I have to do it on that screen. So I will quickly look at the act to see what the time frames are, and then I'll get back to the committee. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Page 1
I'm still on this one. On the appeal now, can the general public also go to appeal? And how will they know if it's not published that the allotment was awarded?
We said the minister will put on regulation. Is it not what we said? And must be on a hotspot, right? And the public, of course, it will not cover the entire constituency, because even the website, there are those that cannot access it. Even the state park, there are those that cannot access it.
Thank you, Chief. Just to answer Uncle Sam's question, any person that includes anybody in the general public may appeal. If you look at the right to appeal, section 3M, it says a person. So a person refers to any person in the public domain. Thank you.
Chief,
doesn't
that make sense? But how would any person know that an application was granted, or can you just, if you see something going on, go and say an application was made, or I'm just trying to find out, how do you find out that there's a there's a license that we're all unhappy with animals or dogs or something somewhere. I'm just trying to find out in practice, how does it work? And you generally just go and write to the department and say that you want to appeal the license, or I'm just trying to find out in practice, how does it work?
Well, I was before the lawyer from the department raised a hand, I was explaining that as we were discussing, he talked about the website, the regulations, and the department indicated that they'll have the database. Those are the areas that the person can get information from. Yes.
So I'm just back to that we must get the regulations then so that we can look at the regulations at this committee.
Okay. No, but we don't need to have them yet for them to put issues. Hello. You know, sometimes we must not say decisions that will make people to undermine our authority. We cannot sit in the meeting and talk about certain things and even want to run and go and monitor. They must do it even when we're not here. We're not there. They must actually do it even when we're not there. So we're saying they told us that they're going, we're recording this thing, right? Honorable say.
Person, apparently they have justice, whatever, act. She's the person more than 120 days, 4 months. So what happens while something is on appeal? I have now applied for a license. Someone came and made an appeal to the department. In the meantime, what happens? Thank you, Chief. The ordinary consequence of what you lodge an appeal is that the order that was granted, once that appeal is lodged, the order that was granted is then suspended until the appeal is finalized. I know I'm taking a statue, but that's why I wanted the general public to have a say before the licensing. Because I'm a circus person. I'm not that. I'm not making an application. It was successful, and someone came in the appeal process and put in an appeal. My operations are stopped. Now, is that how I understand it? How it will happen in practice?
See, we appeal. It's not just any person that can come. You must prove that you are aggrieved. In other words, you must be able to set out the grounds on which you are aggrieved before that appeal qualifies as an appeal. So in order to register that appeal, there has to be an initial inquiry to see if this is actually a valid appeal. And then after then, it is in process.
I'm clear what you're saying. Because if you put it in the understanding is that if a person doesn't want anything to work, they'll just put, if they appeal you have to just look at the paper and say this is appeal, therefore qualifies. Means that government will not work because everybody will never satisfy anybody as you operate. But the issues of appeal recognize if there is a person has been aggrieved, a person has been disadvantaged in a real sense, and then that is when you intervene. And immediately you've aggrieved a person, or you have defaulted the process. Therefore, you what is the right word? Therefore, it's justifiable that you can even stop your activity. It's justifiable that you can your activity can be stopped because already people who are aggrieved. It's either you have not followed the legislation or you have submitted your lie about your application and somebody gives the correct information. Then, well, it's justifiable that you must stop that activity. Anybody can stop that activity. So that's why there is this room on an appeal. But not that everybody will just send, or somebody will go and call a meeting drive in my village, Lazarus, where I come from, and say, say come, somebody got a license, then they need to resolve to write the letter, therefore it becomes an appeal. It has to be screened and be categorized in that context. Honorable State?
No, I understand that. I'm just thinking of all kinds of people that can take us to court again because we didn't think through all these things. So where does it say that if an appeal is being investigated or whatever, you must stop your... Is it somewhere or does it a general law or... How does it work? I'm going to take this department to court now because they've stopped my operations. So where does it... Who's just the general knowledge or how does it work?
No, it's not general knowledge. Not a general knowledge. For the fact that you have arrived at the determination that this person has flawed your legislation, then you stop the activity. You have informed by the same legislation that this person has not followed what you expired. So therefore, you use the same law to stop the activity. Honorable Day. Honorable Yonglu?
Wouldn't it... This thing working?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be prudent to include a time frame? What happens... You know, I've been listening to all the possible scenarios where a permission can be denied to get a license or to have it renewed. But if the matter takes 4 months or can take up to 4 months as prescribed in the law that you've quoted here, people will have to stop their businesses. In the case of a circus, a going concern, for some other reason, somebody complains about it, somebody lodges an appeal, and that business has got to stop operating for up to 4 months in order for the appeal to be processed.
The issue of the time, I think the state law advisor was going to look at it. Ms. Kuman was going to look at it and will come back to the committee. So I'm saying your question already has been suspended until they get. Yeah.
Because I looked at it, but it's good if they look at it. It's 120 days. That's what the law says. But I think also now it brings us back to that session that I wanted included. If a license is refused, suspended, cancelled, or withdrawn, that you must stop operations because that will then cover us. I'm thinking of all on all the sides, on the department and the applicant and the appellate chair, so we cover all the bases here. Did I speak out? Come on. I don't know. Suspended, maybe. I don't know. So. Chipperson, I didn't say name. I said I looked at the legislation, and it says 120 days. It's 4 months. So that's why Honorable Yonglu says must maybe look at the time frame, because 120 days is a long time someone's business is suspended.
No, but you rather said we agreed that you look at the issues of time frame and will come back to us. So are we in a hurry now to engage on it? Because, you know, we don't code something that we don't have. So we must have it so that when you code, we are using it together. Thank you. So you were saying what I'm going to say?
No, I'm just saying to you earlier we included that section and it now makes sense when we said it's CKC that if a license is refused, suspended, cancelled or withdrawn that operations must stop. It makes sense now because it's not as obvious that must happen. But now we've included in there. Just get the page 10. CP, now we were on 6, on 3.0. So we're on 3P now, page 7. Consideration of appeal by the minister.
where the minister referred an appeal to the board in terms of section with what he or she may confirm or set aside the recommendations of the board. I'm adding a query here. If the minister can, in the beginning, in any case, just, you know, decide on his own on 301, the minister may, not must, he may decide, no, he's not going to accept this appeal or not, he will grant the appeal or he won't. Then, secondly, he then takes it on to appeal to the board. The board now decides. And then it comes back to the minister, and the minister can just say, no, I don't agree with the board. So why do we have a board? If the minister can just, in any case, decide, may or must not, be then referred to the board, come back to the minister, and the minister say, I don't refuse. So it's a lot of power in the hands of the minister.
Let's give the department to respond that, because you're right. Because our view is that we've been discussing based on that minister has the powers and can deal with the certain appeals and in an area where he needs, it's necessary for him to appoint a board, will then appoint the board, which means we're going to get access to deal with that. Now, how then do we say now we can, lawyer of the department?
Chair, my understanding is the power will always be with the minister. And when the minister needs advice, the appeal board will be constituted. What the appeal board is doing is really making a recommendation to the minister, because the minister cannot divorce himself from the power of making the final decision. And therefore, when the board makes a decision, sometimes they may make an error. We can't speak for what is going to happen at some future date. They may be experts, but it gives the minister basic information. Once the board has considered it, who has experts, who has a legal person, it just gives the minister more information, more comfort that this matter has been looked at properly. But the minister himself must be given the opportunity to apply his mind and make a decision. And there's case law in that respect as well.
Actually, now I want to find out this investigation and consideration by the board and then the consideration of appeal by the minister. Does it all have to happen in 120 days, or the first 3-0, the investigation and consideration of 120 days and then the appeal, the decision of the minister, 120 days? How does it work in law?
The lawyer of the department. The lawyer.
Yes, Chair, we'd like to have some time to look at it, but my understanding is Haja refers to finality, so final decision making. So it gives you a specific time period for final decision making, and it refers to the executive authority. So my understanding is, subject to correction, the 120 days, if that is so, would refer to final decision making on the appeal. Thank you.
I'm on the regulations now. 7, with the minister may, in addition to any other power specifically given herein, make regulations not inconsistent with. Now, I'm trying to find the legal, I know there's funny legal terms that I don't understand. I'm trying to understand why the wording not inconsistent with is in there. Can't we say in addition to 3F, because we have the 3F2 that says, you know, this is what you must. So if you say inconsistent with, the minister may relate that you don't have to comply with 3F. That's how I understand the read it. I'm looking at all these pitfalls because I've dealt with it in the past. It happens. We put in an ad, and then we put something that says the regulations, the minister may not inconsistent with, so you must say, no, I'm scrapping this section and that section, you must just apply with this and that, what you're going to change the regulations. Because the devil is always in the regulations, not in the act.
Thank you, Jane. I think firstly we must remember that the first three sentences of that section 7 actually those are still part of the old act, of the principal act. And then if we say my regulations not inconsistent with the act, this is an empowering provision. So this must be an act to authorize the minister to make regulations. So the only thing that that we are saying when we state that it must not be inconsistent with the act is that the minister mustn't make regulations that go wider than the scope of the act. So in actual fact, that limits the minister. So the minister wouldn't be able to go in and with regulations now, for instance, to put new requirements into regulations that didn't initially appear in the act. So they can't go wider, but this doesn't refer specifically to what, how can I say it, not specific regulations, as you said, but to all of the regulations. So nothing in those regulations may be in contravention of any of the Act's principles or provisions. I don't know if I'm clear because I can't find the right word, but in actual fact, this is just sort of a standard wording for an authorization provision in Act to limit
establish regulations, and as ministers establish those regulations cannot go outside the ambit of the law. That's what I think that's the essence of this session. Honorable Seth?
Okay, Chairperson, then how do I understand 7B2? So the minister now can describe on the all of the following matters, then it says the information to be supplied for issuing of the license referred to in subparagraph 1, which includes the manner. So can there be extra information, or why do we have it in there then? If that basically constrains the minister, doesn't make sense to me.
Do you have the principal act, Honorable Speaker? Look at the principal, really with the principal expression that, so that we can understand each other. Yes. The principal act. Section 7. It says the minister may, in addition to any. What was that? Therefore, A, the form of application in form to be a supply for granting of license and for the renewal thereof in the form of certificate which shall be issued in respect of license animal or dog. And here, well, there's been the issue that we remove dogs replaced by animal. What I'm trying to emphasize is the amendment of the Section 7 of the Principal Act, what we are dealing with here. Yes.
Now, I understand that, Chairperson, that we are basically just deleting certificate and dog and whatever under the amount in the Principal Act. But I'm trying to understand why we have something in there that says the information to be supplied. If you can then, in your regulations, then put other information, because to me it's a contradiction. That's how I see it, because it says here, the minister cannot give any other regulations that's not consistent, but then it says, oh, that's not inconsistent, and then it says the information to be supplied for issuing. So it looks like even you can put other things on your regulations, for example, information to be supplied with the issuing. Because it gives you the right.
Remember how when we started dealing with the letter to NA to request NA to touch on this session, because in terms of the amendment that the department has brought into this house, it doesn't have Section 7. So ourselves, who are saying, Section 7, for us, we're requesting NA to look at Section 7 because we've identify things that need to be changed, which actually is affected by the amendment. So those things that you are raising now, they are not actually affected by the amendment. I'm not sure whether you understand what I'm saying. I do, Chair, but I don't think you understand me now. I think we must talk in another language now. The English is getting too much for me. Honorable Gemma and Honorable Swart, Miss Swart and Honorable Miss Gemma. Yeah. Love with all my honorable Miss Swart and Miss Gemma.
Thank you, Chairperson, and we appreciate being given the chance to have a sense how it feels to be called honorable. I think Chairperson, as the preceding words in Section 7 indicate, it says in addition, and that part that speaks to the further information supplied, for purposes of the regulation, it enables the minister to get to the how part. Yes, all that has been set out in the three provisions that are being inserted, it is something that will not be ignored or that can be changed. So that further information, it may also allow, it's semantics, it may allow that the minister now goes into the how part. How do you then bring about all these things and all that? Do it in affidavits, do it in whatever form. It actually allows that the scope that we could not get into because of the practicalities. Then when they know operationally what they deal with, they can go further than to identify and determine how it should be done.
Thank you, Chair. This regulation section doesn't give anything in addition to what is in the rest of the Act. It says that any information to be required. Special institutional powering provision in Section 3F. It says that you must give details about where the dog is gonna stay. What this section now does, it gives the minister the power to go into specifics. Maybe that you have to, in addition to that, the minister may want to know of what material you have to put in the information, what material the dog, the kennel was made, how big the kennel will be, where the kennel will be stored. So it goes into those more specific details which the minister would require in order for what the national licensing officer would require in order to make a decision, and empowers the minister to put that information in the regulations.
You're fine, honorable. Thank you, Lester. Page 9. Page 10. Fine, I was worried about this 8th amendment, but why can't we just delete all those references in the way, because we are changing basically the principled act now, or is it an easier way to do it like that if we miss something in the principled act?
Yes, ma'am.
Sorry, Jay,
if I can just answer the Honourable Ms. Stein. You would see that 2 and the 3 are in brackets and bolds. That's just the drafting way of actually deleting it. So when a Section 8.1 is going to appear in the final enacted version, it's just going to be Section 8. So 2 and 3 is going to be removed. That's why we put them in brackets. I'm not sure if I understand the question correctly, but so it will only make it to have that. Thank you.
Actually, I hear that and I understand that. We have now gone past 2 and 3. We are not just dealing with 2 and 3 anymore. That's why we need to go to the NA. And that's how I understand it. So why can't we just also delete all the references in the other sections in the Principled Act? Why do we have to write this amendment of 8 in here?
Honorable, I said that we are requesting NA for us to look at Section 7 and 8 and 4 because of the principal and because they still have the name of dogs and other things that need to be changed.
therefore, unless if you are saying you have problems with those, because that is the intention of, as we're discussing, we are looking at those acts because they will be affected by the amendment. So if you are saying you have problems, as we speak, with the Section 7 as they were in the principal act, it's something else that you have to table, that you have to look at and start that debate with you. Okay, I don't have a problem. I'm asking, why do we have to put this amendment here, besides that we amend the substitution for the expression at all? Why can't we just in the principal act or in our draft, in our bill, put in brackets dog and underline animal, like it's done in certain other sections? Why do you have to do it like this?
Thank you, Chair. The way we've drafted, that's the drafting technique that we use. And if we meticulously look at the act and see whether it's going to be appropriate to do it this way. If we're going to do it the way the members suggest, it means we're going to have to, the bill is going to be much longer, and we're going to have to subtract those sections again and insert a lot more sections in so as to put it in practice and then underline it. But the way we have drafted it is generally accepted, and in my view, it will sufficiently cover what the intention was behind it.
Asking you because to me it makes sense. They make it difficult for the rest of us normal people that must read it afterwards, and every time you read a dog you must remember you must replace a dog with an animal, because I'm just saying it doesn't make sense to me that, but I'm sure it's acceptable because sometimes you skip something.
Thank you, Jay. Jay, I think I understand what the Honourable Ms. Stein means by saying that. But what we are saying is just that it's a technique, but obviously the end result will be better once it is now incorporated into the Principal Act. What actually this was, where we can illustrate what we did today in this one, which is now Clause 8, you will see there that we've inserted a lot of those terms. It would have been easy to do the bolded bracket where only the word dog appeared. But because the principal act is so old and there was no consistency really in the drafting of that act, you'll see that the word dog, it was used in so many different contexts within the act, that it would actually confuse you more if we were going to put those brackets in for you to see how it would look here. So this is why we've now incorporated all of those funny terms that they used the word dog in the context even, is that one clause act. And then what the printers will obviously do by the time that this act is enacted into the principal act, is you will see the change there, because this is an instruction actually to them to change all the places and all those contexts where the word dog appears. So I understand that might be confusing now, but the end result will make much more sense. Thank you, Jim.
It's making sense now, Jay, because I thought it's going to be like that in the new act, but I can see that it's going to replace the wording. And I thought it's going to stay there at the end, and you yourself must change it every time you read it. Any other things because we are done, no? Honorable Sir? Oh, Honorable Sir? Honorable Sir? Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. We must just not forget to take a decision on the transitional arrangements which were proposed, because it must also form part of the new bill.
Okay.
Okay, so I was just talking about in terms of the page that we're following. Ms. Ward? So can we look at the health department to have any problem with this? The new clause that Parliament is adjusting that we must insert in the constitution before I give to members and the state advisor.
Thank you, Chair. I'm sorry to take you back a bit, but on page 9, I think we've changed that definition of animal scientist, and I've just flagged it there so that we can just get some feedback from the department if we should include certified natural scientist, or can we make it a professional natural scientist only? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, honourable members. We have looked at the three categories, and we actually appreciate the input we have received from this committee on deliberating on that. We came to a conclusion that the two categories, the certified natural scientist as well as the professional natural scientist, are the most appropriate ones that we can use, because all those people have got at least a 3 or 4 year degree or diploma, and we know that within that context it's already included the principles of animal handling, animal welfare, animal ethology, and so on. The only category that we're not comfortable with keeping was the candidate one now, because in that act itself, it talks about some experiential training and so on, but it's not unpacked for us to understand what it means. But with regard to certified, say, it's 3 years, so we are happy with that. With a professional, say, it's 4 years, we are happy with that. Thank you. Thank you, Honourable Chair. We looked at them and we are so super excited about that, because it's something that will help us. Our understanding is that all the licenses are expiring on the 31st of December, so these measures are helping us to then deal with those components until the people apply for new licenses. Thank you.
If you are able, better read, because I have my own issues. The license should 11B. I think the issue there is he was trying to check if the license cannot be endorsed. I think the keyword is endorsement of the license. 11B1. Well, the licensing office, national licensing office, endorsed instead of going through this process. I'm not sure what was we're trying to check, but I couldn't understand. Now, can I say all of them, because there are only two. And then he was also checking if on 3, 11B3, any application for a license or certificate made before the commencement of the Performing Animals Amendment Act must be processed by the NLO in accordance with any criteria contained in the repeal, Section 2.3 of this Act. He was saying the candidate must be prioritized. The application must be prioritized. Those are the three issues. That's what you
know. I'm also in this one, Chair, and I'm glad that the department answered the first section of my question.
which was when, if licenses is like a yearly thing, you must do it. So there was an answer that it was before the 31st of December. So every license is going to expire. It's not like some expire in February, some in March. All licenses expire at 31st of December. So why do we then need the 3 and 4? Because hopefully this act will be in operations before them, or are we just covering ourselves for something unforeseen that's going to happen and the act is not in place by then? But because we are rushing for a court deadline, I'm sure it must be in operations for them, so we can't we just scrap our sections and force the department to ensure that it is in operations by then. And then, actually, I want to ask the department, how many licenses are we talking about? Are we dealing with 50 or 500 or 10,000 or how many licenses?
Honourable Sir, we're dealing with the, this is suggested from Parliament, and the government, they say they don't have problem. It will help them, and they appreciate that. And I don't see anywhere we discuss about how the license, how many licenses and all this. I know that it's a difference that we need to know, but can we finish the business and then I can accommodate those ones after the business of drafting this. So, and I agree with the which is a new clause, because particularly 2 and 3, 3 and 4, one of those things, because me and you will not be in the control of as you go out of this meeting. We are going to endure as a legislation and the president signs and becomes a law. But we don't have other control. The one thing that I'll request that it should not be forgotten is in 3 and 4, that performing animal protection. You see, it just say performing Animal Amendment Act protection. That protection is needed because you don't have to forget it. Otherwise, you will be killed by the activists of animals. So any other thing before we go into that one of how many licenses and other things, are we fine with the transition? Sultana issues. Sometimes we respond to the Honorable Sultana issues. And then the
thank you very much, Chair. Honorable members, we are very happy in terms of the new clause that has been brought in terms of traditional arrangements. However, there's a standing issue that relates to the introduction that the Chair had guided us on relating to the extension with the Constitutional Court, because this ties in to say we would like to be guided as a department. How much time should we request in terms of the extension? Because that would be very pertinent in terms of the transitional arrangements. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. In relation to the question about the endorsement, for me, an endorsement would require an administrative process in terms of which each person has to now go back and ask the national license officer to endorse it. The way I've drafted it now, you wouldn't need to incur this extra administrative burden of going to the national licensing officer, because your license will automatically be valid until it expires. So this was a more practical and more quicker way that I thought of having it, but it can be endorsed. It is an option. On the issue of whether the matter should be prioritized, that will be for the department to decide whether they can prioritize it, but obviously there will have to be a rationale for prioritizing certain matters over other matters. And that's not an inquiry over which in which I've looked at on a budget. my response. I don't see anything wrong with that. As I said, it will have to be the department will just confirm whether they are such order within. Just on the issue of whether clause 3 and 4 is necessary, the pending arbitration as well as the criminal proceedings, yes, it's definitely necessary. You don't want work which is already done to automatically fall away. So in my view, that is definitely necessary to have. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. It's not an easy question to answer and give the exact date or exact time frame because we are not even clear what is the program or the arrangement that the NGOP would require also in running with the process. So if I were to assume or just indicate a time frame on top of my head, I would suggest that maybe a request that 12 months be put in because there will be an explanation as to why we are suggesting that. But then we give an indication, it's not we are saying to the court, take that as what we want and give it to us. But then in terms, because already with the previous extension, we asked, it was asked that we granted 6 months, and it's clear that 6 months was definitely not an appropriate time frame. And we, in that 6 months, Parliament got about 2 months or less than 3 months to actually deal with its own processes. So in broader terms, I would suggest that maybe if the committee must make a suggestion, it should rather be at least 12 months, and the time will allow whatever else that needs to be happened, and definitely there will be an end result in 12 months period. And the president's time frame to actually allow the process to become an enactment. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, do you agree with the principle? Is it answered? Yes, President's thing has been answered. Honorable Matuko, they've been answered. Yes. So can we get the answer on, we're done with this. Okay. One thing that I'm just looking at here, and I didn't look for specifically, I just want to make sure that we have changed everywhere from the principal act, the penalty fee and amount to the time frame, because I think it was in three areas in the principal act. I didn't look for it again specifically, that we have changed it everywhere. Chambers of B to E and G to F, I'm going down. I don't know what we're anymore.
Jay, thank you. I've just quickly cast my eye over the principal act and actually saw that we might have missed section 5, which deals with the obstruction of police officers. So we can just replace that also by way of substitution, and unfortunately then that would also have to form part of what the committee refers to the assembly. But yes, it's once again a confidential amendment, and thank you to Mr. Stein for spotting it for us. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. This is the question I always, since we started dealing with Papa taking it away from the magistrate and dealing with it as a department, I've always been praying to avoid having to answer it. The biggest challenge we have, Honorable Members, is that this work by the magistrate was so decentralized, scattered all over, and there was no way where it was being consolidated and put together. And then when we started being involved with it in late 2012, early 2013, we embarked on a project to try and get this information from various magistrates and so on. We also learned that it is in the nature of the records that were kept in some that we managed to interact with was not giving us this indication. So this is unfortunately the challenge we have, is that at this stage, one of
the operational logistics that will hit us when we are out there would be what are the normal volumes and so on. There was a period of 6 months where there was a small committee that was commissioned by the Northern Gauteng High Court where these applications were dealt centrally. Initially, we thought we could have a rough figure based on the application that were processed during that 6 months because it was a central component. But we learned later that even that indication will not be valid enough because other people were told, many users, they simply boycotted that committee because they were of the view that it was unlawful. So,
Doctor, I have to deal with the procedural matter. Honorable statement. Before you leave, can you suspend this matter so we adopt the minutes before you go? Because we might short of the quorum. That's my honorable statement. We'll deal with that. Can we look at our minutes? Page one.
The adoption of the minutes of 26 May 2015.
Can we get the second Honorable Young Group?
Second.
Thank you very much. The minutes of the 26 May 2015 has been adopted as a true reflection of the discussion and deliberation of the 26th of May 2015. Thank you very much. Honorable Young Group, you are released. You can go back to the doctor. Doctor can respond to... Yes, doctor.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. The final answer, Honorable Stein, is that we still don't know at this present moment. In the 6 months that we did with that committee, we actually processed over 600 and we were told there is more that simple boycott to the process. But up to date, we haven't been able to have that yardstick as to how many are these licenses, which is why we are looking forward to the time when they expire and we can take over, because then we will also be having that centralized database that we'll know. Thank you for that.
Thank you,
Chief.
I really don't want to take us back to any discussions of the law. I think then that's when the regulations become important, because I feel it's very important that it then be advertised beforehand so that you can get some kind of idea. Because we now have deadlines. And if you're going to sit with 10,000 applications and that you didn't know about and you have to deal with them and it's all within 45 days and then within 7 days you must be informed and whatever, I think we really need to think about the thing clearly, because otherwise we're going to get a whole lot of court cases and all kinds of things next year if we're dealing with something that we don't have an idea. And I don't want to stress again, this is an amazing, but if we don't even know how many applications there were, it was next inspected, it wasn't necessary, people didn't have to know. I'm really trying to stress on the department that the planning needs to go into this and some strategy around how it's going to be dealt with so that we know what's going on. Thank you, Jim. And that's why it's important that we do take this amendment
people seriously. I think, you know, the way it was done in the past is definitely not conducive for any animals in our country.
Okay, thank you very much, Honorable. Any question on anything around animals? Because the doctor is here. Honorable Say? I thought you were tired, Honorable.
No, I'm revitalized.
Thank you very much, Honorable Members.
But officially, congratulate the doctor, the chair from the portfolio. I can't just do it on behalf of the portfolio.
Okay. Honorable Modisa, Dr. Modisa, on behalf of the committee, we want to take this opportunity, indeed, congratulate you, your good self, in raising the flag of South Africa very high in the area of your profession, and you have our support throughout, and we are very proud of this committee, and thank you very much, and we hope the people of South Africa will celebrate with us for your appointment as the president. Thank you very much. Actually, Dr. Mutsan was via a cake and a champagne. Not the exactly. No, thank you very much. That was the end of the meeting, but I want to take this opportunity to thank our legal team. You have done very well. If you were not there for us, we wouldn't be where we are today. Thank you very much to both the department, the state law advisor, and our own team in Parliament. Thank you very much. And thanks everybody for being here. The department, Doctor, it has been a marathon for you, and probably now we are about to conclude, but the race is not yet over. We're still going to deliberate there. You'll rest when we start debating the NA, you know that high. My task is finished. And thank you very much. It was indeed a fruitful meeting. We have, members, we have a joint meeting with the Portfolio Committee on Small Business Development. In the session, I'm going to be later, and our research team have actually going to look into the issues that are going to be discussed. They'll circulate their research yourself so that you go into that meeting being empowered. And thank you very much. This meeting is standard agenda. Thank you.